Welcome back to New World Next Week. I'm James Corbett of CorbettReport.com.
I am James Evan Pilato of MediaMonarchy.com. The new leadership didn't understand the processes. We have got that story, plus where's Kate? But first, happy 4th Coofiversary, everybody. It's the 4th year of 2 weeks to flatten the curve, and we begin with the question, why is the CDC now treating COVID like it's the flu? Grabbing this from nymag.com, the Center for Disease Control and Prevention, on Friday, mothballed its longstanding COVID isolation guidance, announcing that people no longer need to isolate for 5 days after catching the coronavirus. Instead, per the CDC, they should stay home if they feel sick, but can leave home and resume normal activities as soon as their symptoms are getting better and it's been a day since they had a fever without the help of fever-reducing medication. That means that the CDC is both now streamlining and simplifying its recommendations and advising people to treat their COVID infections like they would the flu or any other respiratory illness, even though the novel coronavirus is nothing like the flu or other common respiratory viruses. Many public health experts are backing the move, which is the first major change the CDC has made to the guidance since it reduced the isolation period from 10 days to 5 days in late 2021 and had been previewed last month in a report, of course, by the Amazon Post. The CDC and the experts supporting the plan have noted that it makes sense for the agency to align its isolation guidance with how everyone's living with COVID for 4 years after the start of the pandemic. That new normal is that COVID isn't going away and people are still catching it, but the threat it poses and the harm it causes continue to decline somehow. Oh, thanks to virtually everyone having some form of immunity owing to prior infection or the administration of widely available vaccines, or of course, yummy Paxlovid. Those are the only 3 ways that things have gotten better. CDC says that COVID was the 10th leading cause of death in the U.S. in 2023, down from being in the top 3 leading cause of death in 2020 and 2021, of course, behind heart disease and cancer. And as has been noted, I believe the thing they don't mention before COVID was the 3rd leading cause of death was medical error. Good luck trying to look that up on their rigged garbage search engines now. Weekly hospital admissions have dropped more than 75% since the peak of the Omicron wave in early 2022, and at least so far, no new variants have emerged that have been able to pierce our collective wall of immunity against severe COVID. Public health authorities in Europe, Australia, Canada have already lifted their COVID isolation requirements, as have California and Oregon. And there haven't been significant spikes in COVID hospitalizations in those 2 states following the policy changes, as a CDC official noted last Friday. The version from CBS News, CDC shortens 5-day COVID isolation, updates guidance on masks and testing in new 2024 regulations. I'll even throw in some local news video, local experts react after CDC drops 5-day isolation guidelines. As was said in the Media Monarchy chat, after destroying lives, forcing people to choose between body sovereignty, remember they all used to be into my body, my choice, or lose your job, shutting down the country, in some cases at least 2+ years, resulting in all kinds of mental health problems, suicide, a complete, I would say, ruined generation of children. And the CDC now says, oh, COVID's just like the flu. It's all cool. You're gonna kill us all, is now just, oh, stay home if you feel bad and just come back to work when you feel better. It's cool. James, if we had a giant team of producers here on New World Next Week, I would now roll the package of clips of me saying for the last 4 years on this show, watch, they're gonna act like, what? It wasn't that big a deal. Why are you still talking about it? Get over it, man, they got us. James, since the news broke, man, my phone is just ringing off the hook with all kinds of friends calling up to apologize to me. Sorry, man, you were right. How could I have been so gullible and arrogant and bloody damn stupid? James, I'm still a little mad about it.
Yeah, I wonder why. So, speaking of magic words, I think the word you're looking for there... Oh, sorry, just hold on a second. Hello? Yeah? Oh, it's YouTube. Yeah? What? Oh, you want to give me back my channel and all the 600,000 subscribers that you took away because I was telling the truth about the scamdemic? Why don't you take your f***ing and shove it? Anyway, sorry about that. Yeah, my phone's been ringing off the hook too. crazy. Speaking of magic words, the magic word is iatrogenic or iatrogenesis. Look that up. It, as you say, third leading cause of death, medically induced errors. Yeah, exactly right. Okay, so if people want the kind of the overview of the four-year Kufaversary, 4 years ago this week, freedom was torched. Jeffrey Tucker has a good article up at the Brownstone Institute, and it goes through some of the interesting bits about the timeline and the weirdness about the timeline of when Trump came out and announced the 15 days to flatten the curve and all that nonsense. Speaking of which, our good old friends, well, Zero Hedge, via the Falun Gong Times, I mean the Epoch Times, have this story up. Trump clearly hasn't learned from his COVID-era mistakes, RFK Jr. says, which points out that no one noticed because no one is on this stupid platform anyway, but apparently on Trump's Truth Social, he responded to Biden's State of the Union, where Biden was talking about how the pandemic no longer controls our lives, you know, because of the wonderful vaccines. Well, Trump responded, "You're welcome, Joe. 9-month approval time versus 12 years that it would have taken you." So yes, Trump is still to this day bragging about Operation Warp Speeding the COVID nonsense into your arms. Yay! So I don't ever want to hear from another stupid Trump-tard or a QAnon knucklehead telling me how, God, just vote harder. You want Biden to win? Man, wouldn't it be so great if Trump was in charge? Total nonsense. They turned our entire civilization upside down based on garbage. They scrubbed us from the platforms from telling the truth about the fact it is just the flu, bro. And oh no, now the 4 years later, they go, yeah, it's just the flu, bro. There are no words. There are no words for this or for the fact that, as you say, yeah, our phones are ringing off the hook, getting apologies from all the people who wanted to cut us out of their lives because how dare you raise questions about this nonsense? Anyone who isn't upset about this probably isn't paying attention. But anyway, this is how it rolls. And at the very, very least, we have seen over the past few years who has their head screwed on straight and who doesn't, who will gladly walk you off the plank and send you off into the waters to die your own death. Go screw yourself because you don't believe what I believe. If you have found those people in your life and you're not now free of them, maybe that's a good thing. And maybe you have started to find your tribe. But yeah, what an interesting 4 years it's been. And my God, mm-hmm. I think it's only going to get more interesting from here.
Because if it was all set up and wargamed at some sort of Event 201 type scenario, they knew full well, man, there's no way people are going to do this under a Democrat. We got to roll out MAGA jabs and brain chips because Kamala, I don't think she's going to be a very good salesman of those particular products of the two-party illusion. And shockingly, yes, so today is actually the fourth anniversary. It was actually a Friday the 13th, James, when Trump announced the emergency order, which now, shockingly, allegedly, and we were working on this in the past couple of days, they've actually allegedly ended the emergency executive order of COVID, unlike the 9/11 emergency that we're still under. And of course, we've got the World Health Organization Scamdemic Treaty coming up in May. But until then, it's murder in the USA. Boeing whistleblower found dead days after testifying against aviation giant. Grabbing this one. James, I know we always make fun of the Daily Mail, but their reporting is... they cover things other outlets, I would expect, would cover things, never do. And maybe in some ways it's kind of like RT. They kind of cover conspiranoia kind of stuff, because of course, as we've known these last 20 years, conspiracy culture is super hot and popular and being sold back to people. Maybe it's just like, hey, look at all these half-naked chicks down the side, while you've got hardcore news down the body of the page.
Sorry, quick Boeing asterisk. There is a browser extension that you can get that actually will block the Daily Mail sidebar, so you never have to see it. I just want to let people know about that.
But, well, how would I know that Whoopi's all mad about one of the stories we're going to talk about in a minute? Boeing whistleblower found dead days after testifying against Boeing. A former Boeing staffer who once raised concerns about the company's production standards has been found dead in the U.S. John Barnett, 62, found dead in his truck in a hotel parking lot in South Carolina, his lawyer said Monday, 7 years after he retired following a 32-year career. The ex-quality manager at Boeing's North Charleston plant died from a self-inflicted wound, cops said in Charleston, adding that they are still investigating, which I hope is not a euphemism for we're covering it all up. Barnett's death came during a break in depositions in a whistleblower retaliation suit, where he alleged under-pressure workers were deliberately fitting substandard parts to aircraft on the assembly line, period. He said that in some cases, second-rate parts were literally removed from scrap bins before being fitted to planes that were being built to prevent delays. Can't piss off your shareholders and board members. You gotta deliver. A 2017 review by the FAA upheld some of his concerns, requiring Boeing to take action. He had just given a deposition to Boeing's lawyers for the case this past week, his attorney Brian Knoll said. The new leadership didn't understand the processes, Barnett told the corporate crime reporter in an interview in 2019 of how brass allegedly cut corners to get their state-of-the-art 7878s out on time. And related, a 2022, way back in 2022, another whistleblower who hasn't thankfully been suicided yet. Boeing whistleblower's journey from pre-crash warnings to going public in their wake. Now this guy, thinking smart, he's got his own website with a handy-dandy timeline documenting all of his work and accusations. EdPearson.com, former Boeing 737 program senior managing director, Foundation for Aviation Safety. Because remember, if you have whistleblower info, don't schlep around and be secretive with it. Go public, go big, go loud, make a giant stink so that if they do still whack you, it'll be an obvious requiem for the suicided. And yes, in other anniversary notes, it has been a decade since Malaysia Air 370 went bye-bye. And I was like, hey, wait, what was that? Oh, a Boeing 777-200ER specifically. A decade ago today, New World Next Week, episode 185, The Mystery of Missing Malaysia Airlines Flight 370. That's a long time ago, James. There's a lot of strange things going on, and another requiem for the suicided episode, I suppose, in the making.
It looks that way, doesn't it? And I was going to put some of the relateds on the record here about some of the incidents that have been taking place with Boeing, and honestly, I can't even keep up with it at this point. As we are recording this episode of New World Next Week, there's another incident that's just been reported. United Airlines reports fifth incident in over a week as a U.S.-bound flight returns to Australia, reporting a fuel leak incident that made the plane had to divert and land back in Australia. It was a Boeing 777. So there you go. Okay, so definitely, I mean, there are crazy amount of stories coming out just in the past week or two about Boeing, let alone all of this craziness and the dead whistleblower and all of that. Hey, here's a handy-dandy summary article for you. CNN Business. Boeing is in big trouble. Okay, well, there you go. It certainly is in big trouble. There are some crazy things happening right now, and the only thing that I know for certain, I'm not going to stand here and pretend that I know the inside track of what's really going on here, but something is going on here. And what that something is, it could be something as mundane as I think the regular explanation for this, that Boeing used to be a company that was run by the engineers and is now run by the finance wonks and has suffered a deleterious effect in their quality, as it were. So there's that side of it. But it could be something much more devious going on. Some form of corporate espionage or something. I'll just take this from a brand new CNBC article. Feels like the enemy is within Boeing airplanes, says pilot who flew for the Air Force during Operation Desert Storm. By which, I think, in context, he said, I was in the military and Boeing planes saved my tail many times in combat. The enemy was outside the airplane. Now it feels like the enemy is within. And I think he's just saying, now it's just like poor quality workmanship. But maybe there is an enemy within Boeing, but there's some sort of corporate something going on here. But again, who's got the inside baseball on what's going on in the inner rooms here? All I know is, yeah, it certainly would make you think twice about what particular form of airplane you're going to be taking on your international voyage, isn't it? And maybe that's part of the point. Anyway, I am betting this is not the last we're going to hear of this story, nope. So we'll be keeping track of the developments.
I always crack up because they always say, oh, thank you so much for choosing United or Delta or American. I was like, I had to be at a certain place by a certain time. I bought the thing I could fly. I don't like you at all. It just happens to be the thing I needed to take to get there in time. Well, and as you're talking, so the thing that used to be run by the passionate insiders who loved it, who lived it, is now all being run by the bean counters, and it's all centralized upstairs. Hey, that's what they did to radio, too.
Yeah. Hey, let's get Bill Nye on the phone, see what he says about all this.
Absolutely. The famed science guy, former Boeing mechanic and sketch comedian. James, I actually remember watching that show. It was called Almost Live. They used to run episodes of it on the Comedy Channel back in the day. He was in a skit called High Five and White Guys. That was a recurring skit. And if it's not the planes, I know I was reporting, I don't know that this is a Boeing, tires falling off of planes, and if it's not the planes themselves falling apart, it's seemingly MK nutballs trying to rip the doors open. Do they not want us to fly or something? This is New World Next Week, episode 548, and our conversations prepping this episode between myself and James and our buddy and our video editor, Brock West, our conversations prepping this episode went something like, man, I'm so sick of talking about hipster gates and U.S. real. Yeah, me too. Are you watching this Kate-ish? This stuff is wild. A timeline of the drama and conspiracy surrounding the Princess of Wales, of course, from Vogue magazine, when a smiling Kate Middleton walked to church alongside her family on Christmas Day. Few, if any, could predict it would be the last normal moment the princess would have in the spotlight for the foreseeable future. After announcing a planned abdominal surgery in mid-January, Middleton has suddenly become the subject of some of the wildest and most widespread conspiracies in recent memory, with internet users across multiple platforms speculating about her health and the true location of her whereabouts. While some were comical, others felt much more sinister. It all reached a fever pitch on March 11th when Kensington Palace released a manipulated photo of the Wales family for Mother's Day, which was then retracted by the Associated Press and all kinds of other wire services. I had never seen something quite like that. The princess later apologized for any confusion caused by the edits she made to the image. So it was her, she claims. She claims. So what exactly, the world wondered, was going on with the House of Windsor? There's still no conclusive answer. And the article then goes through the bullet by bullets of the dates of all the things that we know or don't know. But a couple of related links for this. Photo agencies refusing to publish portrait of Kate Middleton with her children over concerns it was manipulated. Again, James, seeing their internal kill notification was kind of cool for a media nerd. I had never seen that. Then they made things worse by putting out another spoof of life photo where you see the back of her alleged head in a car with bald Bill behind tinted windows. Princess of Wales seen after saying she edited Mother's Day picture. That's from the BBC. So, James, this has been weeks, months of speculation. And again, not the most important of speculation to our lives. But why? Why wouldn't you just go outside and go, hey, it's me. Knock it off, you vultures. Let's all get back to work. One real, honest-to-God, verifiable photo, or video, as seems to be popular these days, would put it all to rest. Which is why I think, as you and I both, it's like, is something intentional going on? So before I throw it back to you for your wild speculations, some wild speculations on my part. Oops, they killed her, trying to get a couple of organs for King Chuck. That's what I was thinking a couple of months ago. Oh, of course, she's the fetal organ pig for the sickly inbred Nazis. A media monarchy member claimed there's been lots of departed and quitting and leaving and dying and retiring royals lately, and I, citation needed, I cannot confirm that right now. But maybe they're about to announce some sort of downshift in prominence. And I think that could go along perfectly with what I speculate might happen here in the States with helping demented old man out of the White House, touchy-feely, look how progressive and caring we are move. Instead of it being under attack, Biden's a dangerous idiot. You make it look graceful. You make it look cool. You hold his hand as he leaves the stage. I'm also still operating a little bit on what the late, great Tracy Twyman and Clyde Lewis of Ground Zero said back in the day. Prince William will become the Zion King, they called him. And he will, of course, unite the planet under a one world fill in the blank. He's already got his half-brother Harry in America, so they've already got a hoof hold, if you will. I do hope future Vice President Musk will say something about this on his censorious ghetto website. Give it a little more attention. James, what is the big deal? I did see on the sidebar of Daily Mail, Whoopi, she got mad at all her View co-hosts for being into this conspiracy. She says, girls edit their pictures all day, every day on Zuckergram. What's the big deal? What's the big deal, James?
That's a good question. Well, okay, let me preface anything I'm going to say by saying first up front, for anyone who doesn't care about the royal family, doesn't give two figs about this inbred royal Nazi elitist eugenicist scum family and what they're doing, good. Please stop watching the video. Nothing else really matters. You've got the main point, so that's fine. Anyway, this story is just wild, and it gets weirder and weirder the more you look into it. I didn't care at all about it, but then I just kept seeing more and more of this craziness unfolding. First, you got the here she is with her mom in the car photo with the mysterious extra tire on. What is that? What's going on? And she got some kind of bandage on her. Is that even Kate Middleton? Really? Like, it's just a bizarre photo to release. And then this admitted mess of a Mother's Day photo, so crazy that, as you say, AP had to issue a kill notice to prevent outlets from running it. Okay, that's crazy. And then it's not just like a little bit of touching up. It's not just like, oh, she's, you know, the future Queen of England is sitting there with her iPhone, like, doing some, like, edits on her phone or something. No, like, when you increase the brightness levels on the photo, you can literally see the line where they literally photoshopped her face in. Like, you can see it. It's crazy. And not to mention the AI weirdness of every single one of the children having weird, like, contortions in their fingers. It's just a bizarre, uncanny valley photo any way you look at it. It's actually a photo from last November, according to some TikToker who's gone into like what everyone was wearing and showing that everyone was wearing the same stuff on this day in November, except they've like colored the shirts and things different colors. It's crazy. It's bizarre. And now, as you say, hey, here she totally is, proof of life, guys. You see the back of her head through a tinted window, which, by the way, it just so happens that you can perfectly overlay an image that was taken several months ago on that exact image, and it's exactly lines up. Like, wow, what are the odds of that? So what on earth is going on? Yeah, feel free to speculate away. So she's stepping away from royal duties, as some outlets are announcing. Or, no, William is having an affair with Rose Hanbury. And so they're getting divorced, and so this is going to lead to that. Or, no, William found out that Kate was having an affair with Thomas Kingston and killed him, shot him in the head, because, oh, he died of a horrific, traumatic head injury of some sort, weirdly, in the past week or so when all of this was going on. And there's all sorts of speculation around that. Even Colbert and Stewart's bastard love child, John Oliver, is now in on the act. She's been dead for 18 months, unless we see proof otherwise, he jokes. Jokes? I don't know. So, yeah, feel free to speculate away. Again, what do I know? I don't know. But there is clearly some level of psyop here. I mean, this isn't just like, oops, a kind of PR bungle. This is now deliberate at this point, right? You don't let it drag on for months and then put out this garbage nonsense unless they are trying to draw people into the spectacle. And why are they trying to draw people into this spectacle? Again, speculate away. I don't think this is probably the reason, but one of the effects of what's going on right now is inoculating people further against the inevitable release of whatever Epstein blackmail photo or whatever comes out Oh, it was one of those edited deepfake photos, guys. You've seen it before. I mean, even Princess Kate was doing it with her Mother's Day photo, right? And one could imagine Prince Andrew sitting there going, yeah, royals get edited into photos all the time. That wasn't me with Joffrey there and Maxwell in the background. That was an edited photo, guys. So, I don't know. The deepfake selection process that I talked about as my trend of 2024. Mm-hmm. Maybe it's coming true again.
I sent you guys, I think one of the last things I sent you and Brock was was one from Seinfeld where they've photoshopped in Kate to the beach scene that George was trying to get. Yeah. You fought in the meme wars? That is New World Next Week, episode 548. James, I almost interrupted you to be like, wait, no, don't tell people to change the channel. Good grief. I've got things to shill and plug at the end of the episode.
Actually, I've got something to say at the very end, so please do stick around, guys.
Okay, now that you're back, stay for the rest of it. Because all the people who tuned out now don't know or see this brand new World Next Week sticker. This is the brand new logo. It is on newworldnextweek.com. James, I think it's pretty sweet. I do like it. It has grown on me a lot. And yes, probably in the future we'll have this on hats and shirts as well. But for starters, stickers are in the house, but they are not on the store yet. Remember, you can go create an account at newworldnextweek.com, and then you will get a couple emails a month, maybe, about new products and maybe some sales. In the meantime, this is the other thing I didn't want folks to miss. They may have heard something about this new documentary series on one of those streaming piles about Danny Casalero. I got people tweeting me about it. Monarchy called it. I watched Netflix's limited hangout Octopus Murders and noticed in the credits the Duplass brothers were executive producers and then remembered that Mark Duplass was on a TV show where one cast member falsely claimed to be at the WTC on 9/11 and another cast member's dad did 9/11. That would be the League and Stephen Ronassisi, who finally admitted, I lied about being at 9/11 for all these decades. And of course, Nick Kroll, son of Julius Kroll Associates. Don't know if I missed it, but they didn't even mention Robert Maxwell once, the guy who was all over the sale of Promise Software around the world, Ghislaine's dad, and who died the same year as Casalero under similar sketchy circumstances. Seems odd. Or as Covert Action magazine put it, Netflix series on the Octopus Murders continues cover-up of reporter's death and CIA crimes he threatened to expose. So I please implore you, don't watch that. Don't give them your money. Remember, Netflix was co-founded by Edward Bernays' great-nephew, Mark Bernays Randolph. So instead of funding scumbag mind controllers that hate you, I'll remind you to check out our radio play my wife and I produced a couple of years ago, Octopus Radio Play. It is a digital download at newworldnextweek.com for the paltry sum of $20. It's adapted, actually, from a theatrical play that was at our university back in West Virginia in the 90s. And so that's how we got the rights to the play. It's all paid for. When we heard about this new Netflix show, we immediately wrote to John, hey, have you heard about this new show? He heard nothing about it, which means they didn't bother reaching out to one of the foremost authorities on this story from the 90s, if that tells you something. Also, I'm pretty sure Netflix won't give you an extra half gigabyte of audio, video, PDFs from Monarchy and Corbett Research with your purchase of the Octopus Radio Play, James. That is my hard sell, and that is New World Next Week, episode 548. What special message do you have?
Well, I want to put a little plug in for your Media Monarchy stream. And specifically, as we always say, hey, first exclusive listen to the audio of New World Next Week before it airs anywhere else, before the video goes out. You can hear it on the Media Monarchy stream right after the Morning Monarchy broadcast. Well, I would also like to put a plug in for that because you can hear my total, raw, unedited, profanity-laced expletives that I pepper into these New World Next Weeks in that raw audio. So there you go. That's another incentive for people to listen to the Media Monarchy stream.
Absolutely. We will be back next week, but 2 weeks after that, we'll take a little break.
That sounds right. Something like that. We'll figure it out. Yeah.
I have a calendar on my website. MediaMonarchy.com/calendar. I'll keep that baby updated, and then people can check that, and then they won't speculate that the Illuminati killed us.
We'll still get emails.
I know. There it is, buddy.
All right. Take care.
Take care.